In 1996, Michelle Smith was taking gold at the Summer Olympics in Atlanta. Wexford hurlers were dancing at the crossroads celebrating All-Ireland success, and Mayo footballers were once again tasting defeat at the hands of Meath. But far away from the cameras in the parish of Ballymacord and Gurcheen, a group of Galway sportswomen were on a very special journey, the road to winning five All-Ireland Club Camogie titles. 40 years since its foundation, this is the story of that historic journey by Pearse's Camogie Club. For players Sharon Glynn and Tracy Laughlin, the journey begins over 10 years earlier, outside the garage of Pearse's mentor, Michael Kennedy.
Tracy Laughlin would come out and she'd have a hurl and she'd go to Mike's boot and get another one for me. We'd be poking the ball up and down the road while Dad would be inside getting the tractor fixed. So Tracy said, why don't you come up and play with Pearse's? Because there was no club in Minlough where I was from at the time. And I went home and I told Dad, and he said, I'll ask the next day I'm down. And we'd be down probably once a week because things weren't great with the old tractor. But eventually he did ask anyway, and that's how I made my way to Pearse's. Yeah, 1984, that's how it all came to happen.
We used to go up on this kind of a hut, you know, like a timber hut. And that's where we talk out, like, you know, what now, plan a pair of boots, or if you even had boots. And then you go out on the pitch, and there was a divide between the hurling pitch and the soccer pitch. But they let us train on the soccer pitch. It was like a dike. You used to run up and down, and there used to be sheep in it sometimes.
We were up there, and, you know, nobody better than Eilid back then. We were grateful to have Anthony at all, you know. What Mike started out with us as kids, the basic drop, pick and solo, and if you can do that right and at speed and perfect it. We were still doing it at 26 and 7 going into All-Ireland Club Finals. We were just faster and better at it.
My name is Colette Kennedy Walsh. My father is from Pearse as well, so he'd been Thomas's man. Sport in our house was just important. It was just sport. And I suppose where he would have started would have been with community games in Ahasco Caltra. And that's where we started and brought a team twice to the All-Ireland Community Games Finals. So the Ahasco connection and the Caltra connection was very, very strong. I suppose we were living in the parish of Ballymacord. When we started playing camogie with Pearse's, we got more involved with Ballymacord. But like the underage was very, very important. The underage was the most important with him. And I suppose that started the ball rolling.
My name is Shirley Keating, originally Shirley Hines, and I'm a former player with Pearse's Camogie Club. And at the moment, I'm chairperson. But that was the build of our senior team to come. You know what I mean? It was brilliant. Like, as all the girls stayed playing then, I don't know, is it? We didn't have anything else to play. There was just camogie around here. There was no football or soccer taking us away. You know, we concentrated on the one sport.
88, we made the breakthrough with a fail of final. That was our first one to win. We'd played in a few, but that was our first one to win. And 89, we were beaten in 1, 91, 94, 95 again.
Manny Hillary, centre forward, midfield. Our team in 1991, myself and Aisling Ward and Michelle Glynn came off that team onto our senior level at that. I suppose the other great teams of 94, 95, 96, 97, you'd have the likes of Shauna Ward, Mairead Meehan, Veronica Sweeney, and many more names like that.
Those other girls then that we met through schools, like Martina Harkin now today, Martina Haverty, at the time there was no team. And as the years went on, I suppose they came up and they joined with us.
My name is Aisling Ward. I was fullback on the All-Ireland winning team for Pearse's. I just remember like massive numbers back in the pitch for training. But between those failed teams from those different years, that's where the foundations were laid.
You eventually are going to get the pick of the crop and put a senior team good enough together that's going to go on to win in All-Ireland as well.
Just before we move on to the stories of success then from 96 on, it's important to stop and remember that the club suffered a big loss in the death of Catherine Donnellan in 1995.
She'd been there, I suppose, so long, I think. She was there from the start, from 79. The four boys would be down at the field, like with her, we were training, and Sarah was only a little lad at the time, poking out balls to us, you know, and she often said he'll hurl for Galway someday, you know. She had great pride in him. She had great pride in them all, indeed. Catherine was 40 when that accident happened, so she was like what maybe we are today. We were training the night before the accident. You know, we get a phone call at 1 o'clock next day to say Catherine's been killed in an accident, and it takes a while for that to sink in, and 95 didn't go well then for us. We made the county final 2 weeks later, but to have us actually won that final betters a couple of points, but people weren't over it.
When we got bet, you know, speaking from my own personal experience, I was kind of just, you know, saying, no, that's it. I'm glad. It's over. It's done. We came back the following year and we regrouped. The county had won the All-Ireland for the first time. They'd won the O'Duffy.
in 96, we had such a county involvement in 96 between the county minors that I was over, and we won the All-Ireland in beat Tipperary. And then the seniors, which we, as I said, we had six players involved. We beat Cork in the in that All-Ireland final, Galway did. And Michael Kennedy, my dad, he was chairman of the county board and that year to bring the first O'Duffy Cup back to Galway. And there was such celebration.
My name is Martina Harkin and I played midfield and wing back for Pearses. Myself and Sharon and a few of the other girls, we were on the Galway senior camogie team and we were having a great run of success. So I think that little bit of experience brought us on, and winning that All-Ireland, and we had got that killer instinct and that winning feeling in us. And I think the younger women, even though we were young ourselves, the younger women at the time saw this kind of excitement and in the camp, and it was all positive.
I came back from my first game against Davids in Bullon.
Davids would have been our main rivals. Davids, maybe Mullia as well, but Davids would have been the main rivals at that time.
And there was something there, you know, it was in us. It was just a matter of when was this going to happen.
We won in 92, we didn't come out of Galway in 93. We won in 94, beaten in a club semi-final again by Lynn Rovers by 2 or 3 points, having 16 or 17 wides. Didn't come out again in 95. So there was a lot of question marks over us as a team.
We had seen Mullia win in 91, and I think when we won our first county final in 92, we probably thought that it was going to come a little bit sooner than it did. And then you fear that it's never going to happen at all.
I think there was questions in our own heads.
96, we bet Shamrocks in the final.
It was a special day as well because we were playing for the first time for the Catherine Donnellan Cup. Anne Ford was captain that day. I remember her dad, Enda Ryan, from a time, and was so immensely proud of her. And we had a great, great victory in Bullon that day.
And I think in 96 we played Rathnure in the semi-final in Ballymacourt. And they were All-Ireland club champions coming to Ballymac. And we just ran riot that day, you know, we ran through them. We left there thinking, you know, we really had a great shout for winning this one.
So then it was on to the final 3 weeks later, heading off to Grana Ballingarry in Limerick.
The excitement was immense. The whole parish was caught up in the excitement, flags everywhere.
We have a kind of a sad memory in the morning of that CLN because my cousin in Mullia, Brendan Costello, was actually killed the night before. Mammy and Daddy had been in the hospital most of the night. I know we didn't say anything about it that day because of the match and everything like that. And I know they didn't. And I suppose we were kind of in shock more than anything because he was only 20 at the time. But I think leading up to it, that in itself kind of, let's say, it kind of took the shine a little bit off it at the time. But it was the build up to it and the lead up to it was just fantastic.
And then the expectation was high in the support. We had beaten the All-Ireland champions, so now everyone expects us to win the All-Ireland.
Feeling nervous, but I was quite young for that first All-Ireland in 96. I think I was only 17 or 18, so maybe I didn't have the same nerves as some of the older girls.
The nerves, I can never remember on the way down, and you'd nearly be sick with nerves, you know what I mean, not knowing what to expect, and the crowds were fantastic.
I remember there was snow that morning going down, and we were actually half afraid the game would have been called off in Ballingarry.
Yeah, I remember the bus on the way down. The song on the bus was Tina Turner, Simply the Best. And I just remember the goosebumps and the excitement.
I don't know if the bus journey was like a gang going to a hen party or going off to play the All-Ireland final. But once we pulled in Grana, all that messing stopped and we got to business.
My name is Sean Welsh. I was involved with Galway BFM in terms of covering the Pearses story for the period of time that they were at the top. And I suppose the other angle to it was that I ended up marrying the daughter of Michael Kennedy at the time. So we had both the outside and maybe the inside view. The 12 that started, you had Louise Curry in goal. You had one in the full back line at that stage, Aisling Ward, who had a great game against Eileen O'Brien, who was the star, up-and-coming star of Limerick Camogie at that stage.
14 years old at the time. And in their run-up to the All-Ireland final, she was their talis person and had brought up serious scores. So she was one to watch. But Aisling Ward did a magnificent job on her that day. She held her to 2 points.
In a half-back line then of Colette Dealey, Tracy Lahin, who was a colossus, fantastic player. At centre-back, and Bridget Kilgannon. Then you had three in the middle of the field. There used to be the centre-centre position in the middle of the field, which was probably once Camogie went to 15 aside was a lot better. But that midfield line was Michelle Glynn, Martina Harkin and Carmel Hannon, three fantastic players. Then your half forward line was Martina Haverty, Sharon Glynn at centre forward and Anya Hillary. And inside was Anne Ford, who had come back to Pearce's a few years earlier, and another quality player.
Granna were a younger team than us, and you have this fear, let's say, that you're going to, let's say, that it may not work out on the day.
It was a horrible day. Conditions were not good for that final. The pitch was in a terrible state.
Ball is wet and it's heavy, and God, they're pulling their leg. I mean, it's centre forward. Harkey's pulling her legs out of muck in the middle of the field. Michelle is one side of her, Carmel Hannon the other end.
So Sharon Glynn then,
it's such a dogfight, I think, the day, you know.
15 metre line or so. She's looking at it. There's a wall in front of her. She's going, no, she's gone for goal, and she got it. 21 minutes, Sharon Glynn. Free. Sheik. What a goal.
It was a game where defences were on top for Lahine at centre back.
You know, we were just, you know, a pint up, a pint down. Then there was level. I know Carmel Hannon got a great point for us. Martina Harkin did.
Had it. She's in the left half forward position. Had it. Can't get the ball under control. Has got down on it twice. A clash of water stops her, but she does get it under control. Hannon turns onto the right, and that's a super point. Carmel Hannon, that's a tremendous point. 29 and a half minutes gone, and that score puts Pearce's two up.
And I remember looking out on the line, and I could remember hearing Mike saying, ref, time, time.
There was a calmness about the management team as well. Not always, I can assure you, but I suppose Mike Kennedy himself would have come from St. Thomas's country, so hurling would have been in the blood there. But Pat Burke and Mike Donlan, Frank Harkin, loads of people that were involved down through the years, there was a kind of a steadiness about the leadership of the team.
Colette Geely, I suppose you have to just acknowledge girls like this. She was only 15 years of age. She brought a ball off the line, I suppose, and that probably was the turning point for us.
Goes a high ball, it's in towards the square. Blocked out by Lahine. Clear off the line by Colette Dealey. Great clears by Dealey. Clear off the line, out as far as Sharon Glynn, and Glynn is fouled.
The goal had gone in, hard to know where that All-Ireland title would have landed.
And then, you know, on certain points like that coming near the end, you'd be like, okay, please, 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 you know, Catherine, if you're there, you know, just get us over this line.
And they just about got over the line. It was a type of a game, I suppose, where in an All-Ireland final, it's difficult to win anyway, but throwing the fact that you're playing in a difficult pitch, you're playing in your opponent's backyard, the one thing that really stood out there that day was the work rate of the team, yeah.
1-8 to 2-3, like,
coming up to
30, it was a battle.
Ida Quinn will take the 30, she drops it in there, Anya Hillary puts up the hand, the game is all over, and Anya Hillary has the ball, and Pearce's have won their first ever All-Ireland Senior Club title, 32 minutes on the clock. And Pearce's have won it by 2 points, and the scenes all around us here in Ballingarry, they have to be seen to be believed.
When the final whistle went, I'll never forget that. I remember the crowds jumping the fence. I remember people falling, you know, trying to get to us. You know, I just wanted to get to the women and put my arms around them, and we jumped and we rolled in the muck, and if people saw us today, you know. But it was all so surreal.
Everyone from the parish running onto the field, neighbours, family members, uncles, aunts, jumping up into people's arms, and it was just amazing, really.
I shot a road and crying. And I remember Ashley Ward coming up behind me, and she jumping on my back, and Bridget Gannon, Colette Dealey, Louise Curry was still in the goals. She was an emotional wreck down there, I think. And you could see everyone running, you know, coming out on the pitch. And it was just a build-up, I'd say, of nearly 8 or 9 years. You know, especially the last five where we'd won, you know, where we'd lost a couple of club semi-finals. You know, but it's unreal when you see the people coming out to you.
Brothers and sisters that didn't realise, oh yeah, you play Camogie, you enjoy the game, but now to be involved and the pride.
Mam and Dad were very proud, I'm sure Daddy especially, but we wouldn't be family for showing our emotions really as such. So Daddy's way of showing his support for me would be that anywhere I was on the pitch, which would be full back, that's where he always stood when he was supporting the team, in line with me at full back, and he would usually torment me for the match.
These people had followed you from Bobby, from Fela, and you know, and you've now, you know, you've broken the duck, you've won this, we've done it.
Mike Kennedy's face when it was over, do you know, it just felt like he has done everything now with us, because Mike had been a part of every single team in Pierce's, and I think that was just the icing on the cake. And it's lovely to see people that put a lot of work and effort in, relishing it as much maybe as we did in the field.
The crack we had inside in that dressing room, we didn't even want to change, we just wanted to sit there, and we were destroyed from head to toe.
I think they actually broke the handle of the cup in the dressing room on that day.
Those fires were unreal. From the minute when we got near after Banislaw, there was fires, you know what I mean? There was fires in Caltra, there was fires in Castlebrakeney, Ballymacord, you know, everywhere. And I think there was a bit of a blur after that then for the next few days, because it was just, as you know, like, it was just all the bonfires and stuff, you know, and we celebrated, yeah.
'97, I think we'd only about 6 weeks off, because the club finals that time were played in the back end of November, first week of December, and we would be back in with Galway on the second week of January. So it was, you know, but we were young, and sure, look, we didn't take a blind bit of notice. We just got on with it, did it.
As the county scene unfolded, we got Bethnal Arna final that September by Cork. So you were straight back at it. We probably had one or two rounds of the club championship played probably early on in May and June. We met Mullia in a county final. Not easy.
And again, the battle started going into semi. We went up to Lochiel in Antrim for a semi-final, and that was a tough outing now, to say the least. They just played a different brand of camogie. They were much more physical, they were tougher. They may not be as good a hurlers, but they made life very, very difficult for you.
They're tough players, you know, you get nuts and soft, you know, out of the girls from the north, you know, it's tough, hard hurling.
And then when you went to their ground, it was very intimidating. It was kind of that kind of a place. You know, the cars parked around the pitch that day, and they were blowing horns constantly, and there was a lot of rucks in the run of the game. The ref had kind of lost control. There was some awful off-the-ball stuff. So I think we behaved well to get out of there.
And the final was around the 28th of November.
And we met Liz Downey. Liz Downey had been the kingpins of a club at the time. They had the two Downeys, Angela and Anne, were playing for them.
Like, we'd grown up hearing of these names, the Downey sisters, Angela, Anne and Marina.
And like, you were actually going to get out there and be able to play against them. And I remember one thing Mike would always say. He said, look what he said, if you do nothing else but stop them from playing, that's your part in the game.
Yeah, look, Angela Downey is one of the finest hurlers that I have ever seen. I don't think any camogie player will ever come close to her. And I'll tell you, when Harkey and these women had to face her, Tracy and Aisling Ward and Havo and these girls, they had to face up to her when she's facing you with ball, and she has nothing in her head on any goal. And, you know, so few in the country were ever able to stop her.
But there was a very, definitely a sense of nervousness that probably hadn't been there in 97. And I suppose the fact that it was hosted that time, it was home and away, and we were actually in Ballymacward for the All-Ireland final. The pitch was unreal, the rain we got, it absolutely poured down on the day.
We were getting used to this weather. I wouldn't complain now, to be fair, I was never built for speed, so I liked a bit of slowness in November, December, it was lovely.
Controlled by Kelly Long, tried to work it out, and a shot and a goal! The goal scored by Anya Hillary, the number 9. Pulled the ball along the ground and sent the ball to the back of the net. Anya Hillary, the scorer.
We got off to an incredible start that day, and we were 2-2 up to no score early on. Michelle Glenn was outstanding on Angela Downey that day. She worked her boots off, and Angela Downey never got going.
I still remember when Michelle Glenn got the ball, and she was soloing in, and there was a girl coming against her, and she knew that if she didn't release it, she was going to get totally wiped out. So she hand passed the ball onto the runner, Martina Haverty, and then you could see her eyes closing. You could actually see it in the picture. And the girl, the centre back, came and just, you know, she just kind of met her. Now Michelle held her ground, you know, she's 6 foot. But that Martina Haverty came in, she sold it, she dropped the ball and she hand passed. That was the breaking point. That was when, you know, okay, you know, we've got the goal. Now let's just, you know, go and push on.
Martina Haverty, and she put the ball in the back of the net.
They were continuously attacking, I remember, towards the end.
And Downey thinks about going for the goal. Blasted low, a shot at the goal. And Downey, the scorer, struck it with venom and determination. Sandra sending it in towards the forward division. Has by Angela Downey. Angela Downey bearing down on goal. Still Angela Downey trying for the goal. The shot blocked down. Defender standing firm there. Aisling Ward is one of those.
They pressed hard in the last few minutes, and definitely without a doubt, even though the scoreline, there was a little bit in it, but that 4 or 5 points didn't reflect the actual match. It was a close game in the second half.
Final whistle as Andon pulls on the ball. The referee calls for the ball. It's
full time. Final score: Pearses 4-6, Listowney 2-5.
I remember after the final whistle went, the whole team just ran in a line and did a massive mudslide on the field. And we were singing the black and the white up on the little stand in the pitch in Ballymacward. Yeah, just unbridled joy, really. It was amazing. I'll never forget those times. They were very emotional times.
Again, back to Mike. It was probably one of his finest hours involved, because he said to have had the Downies and Ballymacken to win a final was just special for him.
It was great to see Angela Downey and Anne Downey and Marina Downey and Catherine Dunn and all these players play here in Ballymacward, where I trained an awful lot of underage teams. And this team today, the Pearses team today, trained here since they were under 10 years of age. And I think, for me anyways, it was a great honour to see the Downies play here today.
We had put the two back to back, and you know, I expected we were going to be around for a while, because most of us are only turning 22 and 3 years of age. The future did look good, but sometimes things don't always work out like that.
With two Club All-Ireland titles achieved, many expected Pearses to drive on for that all-important three in a row in 1998. But that year didn't turn out as expected for the club.
That came unstuck in Ballymac in the All-Ireland semi-final of 98. Now, it was Granit Ballingarry that beat them, so first of all, they owed Pearses one from 96, but they were an exceptional team at that time as well. I talked about Eileen O'Brien, but there was the Sheehans, Bert Chalk. They had a serious team.
And they had gotten Mary O'Connor from and Marie Collins, who had been a Cork and Clare intercounty players. And them two girls had certainly made a huge difference to them as a team.
And unfortunately, it didn't go that well. I think the first couple of minutes of the game, Sharon got a bad injury, and psychologically, everyone was in a downer because of it. And it just didn't go our way. I just remember the game passed me by.
The game was only on a couple of minutes, you know, and I was marking Mary O'Connor, and I had actually started well. I had a 1-1 scored, and I just go for a ball, and myself and Vera Sheehan clash, and I tear ligaments in my shoulder and make a hash of it. I thought it was fine, but throwing up a ball to swing, and oh, good luck, there was nothing happening. So I was gone after, I'd say, 10 minutes. And it just, it was disappointing, because it just dampens the whole job, and they need a bit of panic sets in, I think. And on the day we lost the game by 6 or 7 points, we were well beaten in the end, you know. And then I think the biggest questions were probably asked, and we're still only 23 and 4 years of age, so now it does get a bit scary. So look, we go through the winter and you start again in 99, and we don't come out of Galway within a 99, so now the writing has really been on the wall. This is the end.
I think nearly everywhere you went, you know, you know, you'd meet people and say, is that it now? And, you know, are you finished now? And are you done? And, you know, you're like, no.
You know, we were still striving to, I suppose, capitalise on the success that we had in 96 and 97. We still had great players, lots of young players coming through as well to join the panel. So it was always our goal to try and put more All-Irelands together for the club.
Behind that, there was a crop of younger players coming as well, because there was failure successes in 94 and 95 as well. There was another failure success in 91, a few years previous to that. And these players were beginning to come through. You know, Orla Kilkenny, Sheila Barrett, Shauna Ward, Patricia Burke, these type of players. And they were beginning to energise it. Now, the other thing as well, of course, in the midst of all this in 99, came the change from 12-a-side to 15. And that probably suited Pearses as well, Sally, and because they had a lot of good players.
Well, for me, I think I preferred it because I had more cover at full back. I had more help around me. So I liked the fact as well that we were on the same level as men, as the hurling teams, that we would be viewed more as equals now, that our game could be compared to theirs. And generally, I think 15-a-side has been better for Camogie.
It's a whole new ball game. But it must have worked for us, because we came back and won 3 All-Irelands in a row.
We lose Louise Curry because she's gone travelling, or she's gone with her job to America. And Ryan had a baby and she was out of action for that 12 months. So now people are saying, well, they're not going to win without these girls. But Caroline Kniff steps into goals. Do you know, I moved to full forward. That's because I was getting slower, if the truth be told. But then we introduced the Orla Kilkinnies, Shauna Wards, Lorraine Lally, Rebecca Lallys, Sheila Barrett, Trish Burke. 5 or 6 younger girls now are making their mark. The backbone was still there. We still had enough of a mix, and the younger girls had so much energy and they had a hunger. And you know, I remember Orla Kilkenny and Trish Burke saying, Just one. They just wanted one. We had the few won, and I suppose the questions were there. I think we felt we weren't done.
As the team rebuilt, Áine Hillary stepped into the role of captain.
I remember the appointment. I had been vice captain to Anne Ford for the previous couple of years, but I remember coming home from training on a Sunday morning where Anne Earls had nominated me as captain. So it was a big deal for me. I remember telling Mam and Dad when I came home, and they were very proud that my peers had chosen me. You know, it was great, but, you know, there was never any pressure as captain. It was the title. It was an honour.
Well, Áine was always positive. Just a great leader. Always encouraging you to do your best. Never say die attitude, but she would lead by example on the field by the way she played herself.
Davidson now were county champions of 99, and the real battle was on, because there had been nothing much between us, but the ground had gotten closer. So we hit into 2000, and you know, it's nick and tuck. Again, a small bit of luck went our way in one or two of them, and we just happened to come out the right side.
So we had a great win in the All-Ireland semi-final down in Wexford against Rathnure. It was a tough battle. We lost Carmel Hannon towards the end. She got an awful break on her thumb where she went to hook a player and fractured her thumb. So, you know, we had things to consider for the final, you know. So the match was set for Ballymac towards the end of November. So this was day one. The match was abandoned after 28 minutes. And to be honest, I suppose looking back, it's hard to understand how the match even got the go-ahead to start, because the power was off everywhere. It was the worst day ever.
Opponents Michael Davitz of Swatra, County Derry, were less than impressed with the proceedings in Ballymac and made their feelings known to the media.
The Ballymac fiasco was a referee not coming and calling it earlier. That wasn't our fault. As it happened, then the showers, of course, blew up on the same day in Ballymac, and that led to more hoo-ha. But contacting national papers about things like that in local grounds, these things do happen, you know.
They were insistent that they would not travel again. They were saying that we should travel to them, to Derry, to play them in Swatra. But eventually, I remember the Camogie Association came up with Mullingar anyway, and it was fixed for Mullingar.
An absolutely fantastic day. Frosty, dry. I mean, the pitch was fantastic.
I think the most disappointing part was when we actually came on the field. The Swatra support that day, you know, started singing and shouting at us and boos. Yeah. And I just thought, definitely we had never seen that before.
It was a hugely physical game, much, much more physical than anything I think that we had encountered before that.
I'll never forget it, because we started great. I thought we had a great first 5 minutes.
So then Glenn, bending, lifting and striking, and from the minute he left the hurl, there's no doubt about it. Sharon Glenn then gives the lead to the Galway champions on 4 minutes of the All-Ireland Club Championship final refixture. 1 point on the board for Pearces.
But it was dog eat dog. Like, I remember getting belts, and I wouldn't be the most vocal on a field. I'd rather play the game rather than give out about it. But we took serious tackles.
Áine Hillary takes a strong challenge on those things there, said the referee. Hillary tries to keep the ball alive there. Sean Award gets a touch of it into Sharon Glynn. Sharon Glynn takes a strong challenge. On the left hand, Sharon Glynn, a shot, a goal for Pearson.
We took off the ball tackles. You know, Michelle lost her tooth. I'm sure Tracy will tell you a story about that again.
She got an awful belt in the face. And, you know, it was a high hit straight across the mouth. And I don't know today, did she swallow it or did it go on the ground? But there was a few of us on the ground in the middle of the game looking for the tooth. But I think she swallowed it. I'm convinced.
Tracy's convinced she swallowed it anyway. I don't know. I still think it's buried in the grass in Mullingar.
I even got into a fight, which was very unusual.
Ronnie McNichol under pressure from Martina Harkin, and then, you know, pulls, and there's a little bit of afters between Claire McNichol and Martina Harkin.
But they came for us. They came for us.
Now Sharon's laughing at the fact that you said it's unusual you were in a fight. Is there something to be told here?
Oh, no. I never. That's one thing. And put that on record, Sally-Ann, for all my pupils and St. Raveys to hear. I never once got in a fight. I would leave everything on the field. I think I did all my talking with my hurling, but on that particular day, particular player that I had, she riled me. Like, she spoke to me off the ball, things like that. It wasn't nice, and I wasn't used to that. And I think the scoreboard said it all at the end of the day, and we had a great hour.
And Orla Kilkenny has the ball in the hand, and there it is. Scenes of great joy as Pearces win the All-Ireland Club Championship final on a final scoreline of Pearces 2 goals and 10 points, Swatra 1 goal and 3.
And I think Áine Hillary's speech epitomised it all, because, you know, she... The Star newspaper, I think, is what covered the piece with giving out about it. So she, you know, she referred to everything. She said, we were only following one star and there was a good dig, and showers or no showers was another one, I think. So she let them know anyway.
We felt we put on a good day. It wasn't our fault. You know, the weather was horrendous. But it was no harm to give the dig, I felt, that day either.
That 2001 final against Cashel, down in Cashel, that one stays in the memory now, because that was some game.
The county team had just come off winning 2 inter-county senior All-Irelands. You know, then you had, you know, there were great players like Emily Haydens, Una Dwyer's, Claire Grogan's, only 15. And I'm like, oh God, you know, I'm meeting these little young ones now. Like, and to be honest, I don't think anyone gave us a chance outside the parish.
At the time, there wasn't a club rule in Camogie. Normally, say, in hurling and football, that people from your parish played with you. And I suppose to some degree, people outside the loop would say that Pearce has benefited to some degree from players that weren't from around the area that did play with them. But I tell you, Pearce's did. Cashel really went after this, and they brought in a number of players from areas a good bit away from Cashel, and I think they probably put pressure on themselves by so doing.
But they were the ones that were highly tipped, despite us being holding All-Ireland champions. It was home to the famous Bonners as well, of course. So, and their captain on the day was Trina Bonner, so we were complete underdogs.
And you were playing it down in Cashel. The one thing about home advantage, it could be intimidating.
But I remember going up the hall and Dad saying, he'd always call me in and before I'd go, and he'd say, what do you think will happen? You know, and I said, I don't know, Dad, I don't know, we're going to get the result today now. These are very good. And I went down, I kind of had that head on myself, which is probably a terrible way to go into a game.
But I remember Father Jerry Sweeney, Veronica's uncle, and Father Lawless coming into the dressing room before the match, like, and give us their blessing and, like, not to leave it there, not to leave it where in the home of the Bonners anyway.
The ball is thrown in, and Usher, you know, the first ball, I pick it abroad at the sideline, throw it over my shoulder, and it lands over the bar, and I kind of turn and think, this mightn't be a bad day at all. 2 minutes later, we stick the ball in the net, and now I'm saying, okay, here we are.
I remember she came out to take a free, which was way out in midfield, I think, out towards the stand side. I kind of said, you know, come back and take it, because, you know what I mean, it was well in her range, like, things were just happening. It just flew over the bar. And she said, she kind of looked at me, and I was like, you know, I think we're going to have a Sharon day. And we did.
Catch the centre forward, gets it. A lovely shot from the centre forward. For the pace going to Sharon Lane. Sharon Lane gets a stick to the goal. It's a goal.
And then we get the free and we stick a goal, and oh, and we're flying it, and we look like a quality side, and we look like All-Ireland champions. And then I come in the dressing room at halftime, and I hadn't said a word before the game. At halftime I'm saying, come on, what the hell is wrong with you? Well, good enough to win here. And we had the 5 or 6 point cushion.
It was tough. I mean you're watching the greats of probably Galway and at the time and Tipperary, and you're trying then to mark, I mean, the likes of Emily Hayden, Una Dwyer, like, mother of God, one of the best fullbacks in the county. Back in the country back then, like, then you had Claire Grogan, who's now married today Mean Hayes, up in Portumna, like, and she was unreal, like.
Grogan sent the ball in, and that ball has gone over the line. It's not gone wide yet. Kenneth has got the ball. Grogan has got a shot. This is going to be a goal for Cashel. A great chance, a shot, a save by Kenneth. A brilliant save by the goalie. Wonderful hold on by Caroline Kenneth.
And then of course Cashel clawed it back pint for pint. We go the one up. And then Cashel go down, and Burkey takes a ball off the line. Nobody even seen Burkey. It looks like it's going in the net, and she appears, a vision here, and she brings it off the line, and we hang on.
Is it a goal? A goal! No! Jesus Christ, is that a goal? It's tossed in the back of it. Is that number 4? Another woman in the match, having a brilliant game at cornerback. Excitement this weekend. I'm going to get a heart attack myself.
You know, the excitement that was on the sideline, and we counting down those 3 or 4 minutes, it was just tit for tat, up and down, up and down.
But I remember one last ball came in up high, and I remember I caught it. I think Claire Grogan was just literally with me. I caught it, I kind of turned, and of course Sheridan was there, gave the hand pass, and bang. I could hear the roars, you know, in the crowd, in the stand, you know, woman Glynn, woman Lyon, you know, you're almost there, and there was nothing left.
Then we had the famous 8 minutes of injury time.
But in injury time, maybe 4 minutes, we don't know, why didn't you stop a watch? We can't be doing everything up there. Catching on the attack, can they get it in? And it comes to catching, a lovely ball out. Claire Grogan has another chance. Does she make amends? Does she? What? Jesus, she does! A brilliant score by Claire Grogan. Claire, all is forgiven here from Cattle. You're back in the line. The referee is going to blow the watch. The sides are level. The supporters are gone mad here. They're jumping.
Claire Grogan got an equaliser in injury time, and I think, like, even just from a little further play from the puck out, Carmen Hannah picked up the ball, and like, it was a hit and hope, and it literally just dropped over the bar.
This is a chance from the Pasty, a shot from the Pasty, and that's a wonderful point. That is a wonderful point there from number 12, Carmel Hannon. That is a marvellous score. The first point he got, but it was a valuable one.
The final whistle went after the puck out, so it was so exciting.
Oh, I thought that was just the performance of a lifetime from us as a team, because from 1 to 15 and 16 and 17, everybody played a part that day, because you weren't going to get the result unless you did.
Two in a row achieved. It was enthralling. It was exciting. It was definitely the one that stands head and shoulders above all the rest of them for me.
It's three in a row now is on everyone's head and tongues, and that's the talk.
I think at this stage we felt that we should have really been going from 96 right up to now. The 2 years in between the 98 and the 99, that hiccup, I suppose you always look back, no matter how much you win, you look back on the other two, and like, probably should have been going for seven.
And then you're back into a semi-final. And who do you meet? Cashel. And where is it? In Cashel. And now you're in another Lawrence semi-final after winning two club All-Irelands. Sure, I mean, this is things that people only dream about, like. And that the fact that we hadn't lost any All-Ireland, anyone we were in at the time, we won. So you're back going down to Cashel again, like. It was a huge game.
Of course, an awful lot of people would have been feeling that we were lucky the first year we got out of it. Are you going to do it again? But like, to do it again the second time, I think put that to bed, that this was a great team.
Pearce's defeated Cashel again in the semi-final, won 9 to 10 points. In another, as they would say, whale of a game.
Lo and behold, we're underdogs again going into the All-Ireland final, where the star-studded Ibers from Wexford are travelling to Duggan Park in Bannisloe to play that final. Namely, inter-county players like Kate Kelly, the now nine-time All-Star, and Michelle Hearn, and the likes.
Interestingly, the team that started that day, just to look at the development since the first one, the 12-a-side in 96, you had Louise Curry in goal. By this stage, Sheila Barrett and Patricia Burke were established in the cornerback positions, either side of Aisling Ward. The half-back line then was Martina Donlan, Martina Haverty. Yeah, Tracy Lahine at 6 and Martina Harkin at 7. That half-back line, Haverty, Lahine, Harkin, as good as you're going to get. Anya, Hillary, middle of the field with Carmel Hannon. And then up front, you had Orla Kilkenny breaking onto the team now. Veronica Sweeney at centre forward, Tim Sweeney, one of Galway's and Hesketh's greatest hurlers. The influence was there. Michelle Glynn was at wing forward, and then inside you had Shauna Ward, who had a phenomenal underage career, now blossoming at senior. Lorraine Lally in the other corner, and then in the between you had Sharon Glynn.
Veronica Sweeney plays the ball over towards Shauna Ward's corner. Shauna Ward getting inside the cornerback. Shauna Ward, can she get into the corner? She does. Shot, goal by Shauna Ward.
We got off to a magnificent start with goals from Shauna Ward and Sharon Glynn.
Pearce's lead 1-4, 3 points. Nearly 20 minutes gone in the contest. Would she think about it? Sharon Glynn, she has done it before. She goes low, it's gone into the net! Sharon Glynn struck gold again for Pearce's.
From the onset, we were in fifth gear. There was no back. And I think the more we went on and the more points we were putting up on the board, the more we wanted to beat them.
Back though to Kate Kelly. She drives it in again. Lachlan goes up, bats it down, comes down to the full forward, Michelle Ahern. Under strong pressure though from Anya Hillary. Gets it out along the ground. Bridget Kern under pressure. Now that's great covering by Pearce. The cross comes Harkin. Lovely control by Harkin. Puts the ball in the stick. Gets away from her flare and clears the ball out the field. It's a beautiful day. There it is, the long whistle, and it's all over. The All-Ireland final of 2002 has ended in an emphatic, in a comfortable victory for Pearce's.
They have won the O'Carroll Cup for the third time in a row and now for the fifth time, on a final scoreline of 2-13 for Pearses, 1-5 for St. Ivers, and the long trek up the steps in Duggan Park, Ballinasloe, are about to be made by the captain of the team, Áine Hillary.
We had a huge win on the day, an unexpected huge win. We expected a bigger battle than that.
Everything fell so perfectly for us that day, and I think, you know, that just finished off what a wonderful club, what a fantastic achievement it was, and something that I think in my lifetime will never be achieved again.
It was such an achievement for our small parish to be able to do that and to put three back to back. So really disbelief, and just there with all of your best friends, girls you grew up with, your sisters, just such a feeling of overwhelming joy, really.
The three in a row had been done, and I suppose everything then, every question that was ever debatable about us had certainly been laid to rest that time. That unfortunately did turn out to be the finish of it all for us, for county titles and All-Ireland titles. But I suppose when we look back now in our mid-40s, wasn't it a lovely way to wrap it up?
While Pearses had achieved incredible success in the field, for different reasons, 2007 is a year that the club will never forget. In the first devastating blow on January 31st, 25-year-old former player and underage star Mairead Meehan from Caltra passed away.
Her loss to the Meehan family, you know, a family steeped in GAA, it was cruel. And a class act as well, a lovely girl, you know, she had that twinkle in her eye.
The personal loss, aside even from the camogie, this was a friend, and it really shook to the core, it really did.
She was such a talent, but such a positive person. I will never forget her big, wide smile. That's what I remember most from Mairead.
But nobody was ready for September 13th, 2007, because the minute the word broke that Mike Kennedy had passed away, the whole place shut down.
The family were devastated, obviously. Mary had been an integral part of the Pearses' story. The four daughters were left with a real void.
The reaction of the players, for us, was probably the thing that stood out most, and for strangers as well that didn't really know that this, we were like a big family, and like everything revolved around camogie in our house. Everything revolved around this set of girls.
You know, he had four daughters himself. They're steeped in GAA, steeped in camogie. And then he had all of us. I was like, you know, this can't be happening. You know, he was my neighbour. My, you know, grew up beside him all my life. Mike and Mary were like second parents to me. He was like a dad I didn't have.
I suppose he was like a father figure to us all. He was a friend. He was a mentor. I remember he employed me at one stage. He gave me a bit of summer work, myself and Tracy, one particular year. I think Colette was getting married at the time, and the house needed to be decorated. So at the time I was in college and showed a few pounds, you know, and Tracy said, sure, I'll help you. And we went up and we put paint everywhere and anywhere except on the walls. And he'd always say, "Begad, aye, great job."
Other things I suppose I remember about Mike is at our celebrations, he'd always have like a cardboard box camera, and he'd be taken laughing quietly in the corner, and he wouldn't even be focusing, you know, he'd just be clicking away there. He was a gentleman, you know, and we'll miss him, and we still miss him to this day, you know.
He was Pearses Camogie Club, he still is Pearses Camogie Club. It's the, every time I see that black jersey and anyone puts it on, it's Mike Kennedy's all I'm thinking of, because of all he ever did for so many of us.
He meant so much to me personally. You know, we used to travel with Mike to matches. Sorry. And yeah, even to this day, I still miss Mike. And he left us such a huge mark on the club. And what he did for our club will never be replicated by anyone else, even for Galway Camogie. Yeah, we will be forever in debt to Mike Kennedy and the club, forever.
8 county titles, 5 All-Ireland club titles. He had a hand in so much other things. You know, he set up a North Board, for instance, near the end. What he's left behind will stand the test of time.
We're still there, and we're so proud of our club. I mean, we're 40 years in existence. What a proud day it would be if Michael Kennedy was here. and Petey Glynn, Catherine Donlan, you know, Emerade Meehan, you know, four people that will never leave our minds in the club.
You know what I mean? Your heart is always there. I think it's the heart. I think that it's such a community.
It's the move of a hurl. It's the lift of a hand. It's the thickness. It's the friendliness. It's the encouragement. And it's all... That was Pierce's Camogie. And I am a very proud person to have been part of that.
We would just do anything for each other out in the field, but we were also great friends off the field. And we just had that never-say-die attitude. A real sense of pride in the club.
From my first day in Pierce's Camogie, there was a very special bond amongst all the players, you know, and there was always a special feeling when you pulled on that black and white jersey.
The days of wearing a jersey, when you have that opportunity, Jesus, take it with both hands, because it's so short. It's a short time in your life, and when it's gone forever, and you'll never relive those days again, and what you have and make around that field, and that just will never happen in any other way of life for you. So make the absolute most, because they are certainly some of the best days of your life.
This programme was produced, presented and edited by Sally-Ann Barrett, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.